you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Meanwhile, vacation photos are popping up of Patrick Mahomes, and he's fat. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. That's why you hit the play button. He's an embarrassment. You're a $500 million quarterback. You've made all these comments in the offseason that we're going to do our talking on the field. We got our butts kicked in the Super Bowl. We're coming back with a vengeance. Dude, you're fat. Your belly would be fat at my pool, hanging out with us, 60-year-olds, okay? My skin's flabbier than yours. I get it. Stop. Stop the fast food. Do a sit-up. Do something. Yeah, I'm sure he's worked out and strengthened his arm and he's done all kinds of different things, quarterback things, but there's no training to this man. I don't understand it. He's not a kid anymore.
Kevin Keatsman
in Kansas City?
Yes. Happened last week?
When was that?
Last week. So he's a former Chiefs morning radio host, now does his own podcast. That was from said podcast. Yeah.
All right.
Calling Mahomes fat.
Good choice.
You missed that, I guess.
I did miss that. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I didn't quite make you put up a Twitter poll, but I did.
No, but it was.
I did use you as the shield, if possible.
You did.
Because here's the genesis of this. Good morning, by the way, Jeremy and Joe. Owen Parker's here. Josh Schmidt's here. The gang's all back. Bills training camp opens on the 23rd, the first practice. The veterans report a week from tomorrow. Rookies report tomorrow. We're getting a new helmet. The Chargers' new uniform comes out tomorrow. New third jersey. I care about uniform stuff. Anyway, so today, I asked you to put up a poll. Is Patrick Mahomes overrated?
Uh-huh.
I wanted you to put it up because I didn't want to put it
didn't
up.
Didn't take much convincing.
No. And I didn't want the GR account to put it up because I didn't want to catch heat for, now they're going to win the Super Bowl because somebody called them overrated. But here's where it comes from. NFL executives, scouts, blah, blah, blah. Jeremy Fowler has a piece where he polled scouts and executives and coaches who are the best players at each position. And he's released the lists one by one. You can go to ESPN and see them all. They did running backs and defensive tackles, edge rushers, safeties, all this. And today is quarterbacks. And ranking number one is Patrick Mahomes. And if you think Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes, then you think Mahomes is overrated. Right? That's it.
If you think anybody is better than Patrick Mahomes, then you think Patrick Mahomes is overrated. Yes.
They go Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Burrow 3, Lamar 4.
Yeah.
Which is, that's something.
Lamar at 4 is, I'm just going to flat out say it. Lamar at 4 is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Well.
To say that he has not, I think the only person you could make a reasonable defense for being better than Lamar Jackson in the last two seasons is Allen. That's it. I wouldn't even start telling you Mahomes has been better right now than Jackson. And Burrow, I think you would just come down for me to the rushing part of it. That Lamar's thrown the ball as well as Burrow has and put up the numbers that Burrow has, but he also gives you like the most valuable runner along with Allen in the NFL. And Burrow doesn't give you any of that. So I think that's pretty insane that he had a lowest ranking of 6th.
Somebody put him 6th.
Who's got him 6th?
No.
Somebody is just doing this, though, on this is the fan base I mentioned before the break that is losing their minds right now are Eagles fans because Jalen Hurts is ranked number 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had him higher than 6. Although there's a quote in here in this Jeremy Fowler. It's one quote from an AFC executive who voted Hurts in the top 5. But yet higher, it says that his highest vote was 6th. So which is it on that? I don't know. Is somebody just really ranking who's got the most help and who doesn't? Because isn't that the only way you would ever get to Lamar being at 6? Is, well, of course he put up all those numbers and was that good because he's got an amazing team. He's got Derrick Henry standing next to him.
He has a 10-1 touchdown-to-interception ratio, Lamar.
10-1. And Allen wouldn't get any of those you know, down votes because who does he got?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a bunch of good players, but he doesn't have like a long list of all pros that are, you know, putting him up there. So, but about Mahomes being at number one, I mean, that could be the same thing. Is there are some that would bypass his numbers the last 2 years, not just because of the rings, because they would say, well, really, what has he had to work with? He doesn't have a top-end receiver. Kelsey's not the same anymore. The Lions had some trouble over time. The running game is like mid at best.
Yep.
Don't they get 3 yards a carry all the time? Like, that could be helping him too. Is he's not viewed as having the most help in the world.
Fowler points out in his piece that the last 2 years, Mahomes dominated the ratings. Number one back-to-back years. And that this year, he didn't win by as much. He got 60% of the first place votes this year, Mahomes did. Still impressive, but well short of last year. Last couple of years, he probably would have been like just consensus number one. And last year's a year where Allen being overrated was a big talking point, right? We had 11 NFL players said he was the most overrated player in the league. Okay. I don't feel like anybody's saying that about him this year. Now I've got Lamar being underrated. And that's that gets to the genesis of why I asked you to post, is Mahomes overrated? We kind of flirted with this idea last year. And now that Josh just won the MVP, and it's two straight years of Mahomes looking not great. He consistently looks great against the Bills in the postseason. But otherwise, not great. Not a great offense last year. Not even a great postseason from their offense last year, outside of what they did against the Bills to some degree. And it's almost like, I went over it earlier in the show, my rule is, if you're going to put Mahomes one, okay, you're a rings person. Because he doesn't look like the best in the league right now. He looks like top three, top five, whatever. He's great. There's no doubt about it. He had an incredible start to his career that probably put his expectations so stratospherically high that it would be hard to stay there. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Allen and Jackson who've won the last couple MVPs, and they have been better than Mahomes.
Yep.
But I still have executives landing Mahomes at number one. Okay. Josh's lowest ranking is number four. Mahomes' lowest ranking is number four. Burrow came in third, and Burrow's lowest ranking was number five. One thing about Burrow, I'm eager to see this quarterback series on Netflix because they're, you know, they go in behind the scenes with Burrow and Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
And there are two guys that Kirk Cousins, to me, he was already on the show once. I don't really need to see him.
The only thing I want to see about him, and I kind of skipped over the previous parts of this, I want to see when he gets benched. Like what that looked like, how he felt about that. Because the one interesting part about Cousins earlier in the documentary was when Atlanta took Penix and him kind of revealing, like, I would not have left Minnesota.
Yeah.
If I knew they were going to draft a guy like I knew Minnesota was going, I just would have stayed home and done it there. So he did kind of reveal that, like, Atlanta pretty much pulled the rug out from him. Like, they tricked him into signing there. So I haven't got to the part yet where he gets benched. But the rest of the Kirk Cousins stuff, you're right. Like, I've already seen everything else.
But Burrow is interesting, and Goff is interesting in this show.
Yep.
The thing about Burrow is, you know, overcoming the injury, what they've got there in Cincinnati, his mindset, whatever. Like, he's an interesting one.
And he goes through turmoil. Like, that season for Cincinnati is, like, they're losing.
They lose a lot. They lose their opening game on a goofy fumble, but they lose their opening game.
The clip of Burrow. Did you see the clip of Burrow against the Titans?
Not yet.
We played the audio from it last week.
Josh, is that the one where he's freaking about how terrible they played?
They win by 10.
And he's so mad.
On the road in Tennessee, and he's like, he's in Zach Taylor's face. Like, no, like we suck today. Like, don't tell me that we battled through it. Like, we were terrible. This should not be acceptable.
And that's, you know what? Like, that stuff to me is so good when you get to see that even when things are looking good, you won a game, right? If you were to call the post-game show and say, man, they were terrible today.
And they won on the road by double digits.
Someone would call and say, like, what are you complaining about? They won. Meanwhile, they're complaining.
The quarterback.
Internally. Yeah, the quarterback is complaining internally. I wonder, as I watch this Netflix series with Goff and with Burrow and with Cousins, and you see all these other things, like, what will Hard Knocks really give us? That's exciting. Hard Knocks come, that is juicy.
Right. That's good. And I think That's something that like maybe some teams would be like, I don't really know if I want that in there, but I kind of think that makes Burrow look good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe some would say it wouldn't. I don't really think anybody thinks it looks bad.
Well,
unless you think it looks bad on Zach Taylor because it looks like your quarterback has a higher standard for the team than the coach does.
It depends. I mean, leadership is in the eye of the beholder. You know, people from the outside looking in, somebody that's really angry and yells at people, sometimes you like that. Sometimes somebody that's calm and keeps the group together, maybe you like that. Maybe it depends on where the team is. It's why, you know, when the NFL team fires a coach that was fiery, they go to more of a player's coach, and they go back to a fiery coach. And then so back and forth. With Burrow, there's always this almost this expectation that he slash they are going to just find their way and get back to Super Bowls and being great. They went to one.
Yep.
And if there's any fan base that has, I don't know, a healthy respect for them, it might be this one. They talk a lot. The Bengals talk so much. And Chase is out here taking shots at the Browns. Mm-hmm. Burrowhead when they beat the Chiefs. How brash they are. The attitude they carry. And it's almost like they're the anti-Bills to some degree. Right?
A little bit.
Because the Bills, even though Allen was named the best trash talker in the NFL,
right,
he kind of doesn't carry himself like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all interesting. But with Burrow and Goff, like it's so – I love seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff. I love to see – I just love to see a little bit of strife because the league is so buttoned up and so good at pretending that every single team is – everything's going great.
Yep.
They control so much of the message. And you see behind the scenes, like, yeah, they're arguing about it. They're deeply committed to winning. There's fractures in, you know, all of it. It's just fascinating. So I'm eager to watch more Burrow.
But Burrow being third is – because what is that? That is more the – he's got the stats, but he doesn't have the winning. And also, he's got – I don't know. Where do they consider his help? Because he's got a horrible defense, and maybe some would look at him more favorably because he's overcoming that. But at the same time, he's got the best receiver duo in football.
Well, it is perfectly set up for Burrow to put up monster numbers.
Oh, easily.
And if you're someone that's just going to look at numbers – so Ben Gretsch, who's going to join us at 9:30 this morning, he had a stat on the Bills and Allen. And this will – it's kind of one of these ones where if you don't look at this number, you can kind of have – you can be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
Burrow playing on a team, it's not even really about having, oh, it's the receivers he has. It is that. It's also playing in shootouts. It's the number of plays you run, play volume. Ben Gretsch had a stat on the Bills that last year the Bills' offense was 28th in plays run.
Yeah.
What are the Bills doing out there?
Yeah.
They are running the ball. They're efficient. They're a run-first team. So you should build in to a year Allen's stats being somewhat suppressed by the way they play. If they wanted to go out there and get him 5,000 yards passing, I have no doubt they could do that. Mm-hmm. But that's not what they want to do. Complimentary football, McDermott and Bean, the way they want to build it. It makes sense. Like, they want to play a winning brand of football, whereas for the Bengals, at least last year especially, what are they doing? They are chasing a bad defense endlessly. Mm-hmm. And maybe you think that paying Chase and Higgins is a shortcut to chase bad defense by just throwing Burrow out there and throw for 5,000 yards, throw for 45 touchdowns. We'll do it. So when you do just the box score scouting of a guy like Burrow and Allen or Lamar or Mahomes, and you could say a lot. Maybe all those points I just said about Allen and game script and this and that, could they apply to Mahomes too? Like, play volume matters and how often you're throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Allen's one of these quarterbacks that can be whatever you want him to be. He can win the shootout. Right. Detroit, the Rams, days where they need you to put up 40, they'll put up 40, mostly.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Except in the playoffs against the Chiefs. Everywhere else, he'll pretty much give you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, quarterback stuff. Rankings are out. Mahomes number one according to the executives.
And
coaches.
Oh, no, he's not, actually. I was going to say, and overrated, according to my Twitter followers, but they are not voting him yes.
50-50? Where are we at?
40 yes, 59 no.
Okay. So 59%.
That is that he has beaten the respect into you, right? If you're a Bills fan, he has beaten the respect into many. I respect what he has done. I also don't feel like he should just get a complete pass and we should pretend that he has been amazing for the last 2 years. He's not. He's not been amazing for the last 2 years. He's been pretty good.
Pretty good.
But there's a lot of numbers that point to he has not been. We've watched a lot of their games where he has not looked good. And they found a way to win anyway because they get some breaks. And all the things we just said about Burrow, like, the Chiefs have a lot of that going for them. How many points does Mahomes have to score in a lot of these games? They're winning games scoring 19, 20 points.
Except against the Bills.
Except against the Bills, which is always the one caveat in the asterisk here. But, I mean, they've had a great defense. They've got the best head coach maybe ever. You know? The bar is not high for him to clear in these games. So when I look and say, okay, he's number one ranked, I'm like, all right, you're just counting the rings. And that's fine if you want to do it that way. But don't tell me he's been the best quarterback in the league for the last two seasons when he is 28th in yards per attempt, 22nd in adjusted net yards per attempt, 20th in passer rating, has thrown the second most interceptions, by the way, after everyone said that Josh Allen wasn't the top guy because he threw picks. Mahomes throwing interceptions. 19th in touchdown percent. I could go down the list. Don't tell me he's been the best quarterback the last two seasons. He's not. He hasn't even been close to it. He hasn't been top five. But he's won, and he's gotten to the Super Bowl.
He keeps winning.
So what are you supposed to say? Like, does it matter that he hasn't been the best? Because for two seasons now, it has not mattered. And that's the more frustrating thing about the Chiefs. He has not been this all-time great superstar quarterback, you know, breaking the sport with 50 touchdowns like he did when he came into the league. He's not been that for 2 years, and it doesn't even matter because they're just there anyway.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Chargers rookies reporting to camp. Bills rookies report tomorrow. Max Hairston, maybe TJ Sanders, probably not because the entire second round logjam exists, which we talked a little bit about earlier. Chris in South Carolina. Hey, Chris, good morning.
What's up, fellas? Got a couple things on the resale ticket price. Want to pick your brain at, and then I got a question about tailgating. So I've jotted down a couple of games. I've been watching the ticket prices on the secondary market since the release date or whatnot. And on the day they came out, the Saints was at like $215. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, that I can see that early season 1 o'clock game. I've been looking at the prices, and the Saints currently on SmubHub are $240 for the entry level ticket. New England, our week five or whatnot, Sunday night game, $200. The Bucks, which is also NFC South, $209, and then Cincy, who we were just talking about. $204, so $40 less, for instance, for Cincy, $30 less for the Bucks. And other than it being a 1 o'clock early season game, if I were to take that out of it where you couldn't choose that, what would you say the reason is that the Saints ticket price is so high? And to add to that, the Carolina Panthers, I know you guys always just talk about coming up in October for the Panthers game. The ticket price for that is $220. So here is, look at it this way. Here is a fan base who has, you know, low ticket prices, and they see Buffalo fans coming in. They know they can make the money on it. They're still to get in the door $220. Whereas for us, the Saints coming to town, no draw at all, no reason to try to make the money on it other than 1 o'clock early season game, $240. And then one more thing about the Panthers is I think our fans are going to be disappointed as far as the tailgating, thinking that it's anything close to – it's like going to a concert or a movie. I park at the NASCAR Hall of Fame if you were to go to a game there. So it's kind of – I don't know, man. It's a different feel, and the props to get in, I just don't think the experience for our fans – is what you would get with that. And then my last thing is, we normally hang out at one particular spot, like for tailgating. Do you guys have any recommendation of other spots just to hit up, or sides of the stadium that have, like, you know, places to kind of congregate more?
No.
Yeah.
The answer to that is no.
I think you can kind of walk anywhere and find a tailgate.
Thanks, Chris, for the phone call. Would it be wrong to say, just anybody says, like, oh, come to my first Bills tailgate, where should I tailgate? Isn't the answer anywhere?
That's what I was going to say.
Like, is there any spot that anyone would say is better than another spot? We have our own spots.
Like, Chris, I think you'd have a hard time not finding a tailgate that will welcome you and be pretty fun.
The first thing I'm thinking of is the Kentucky Derby, turn one, turn two, turn three, turn four, have different atmospheres.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like turn three is where it's crazy. But I don't think of a Bills game and a Bills tailgate like, oh, this lot does this or this lot does that. Maybe the grass lots are a little bit, you know, the non-Bills lots are probably a little wilder if you wanted to go that way, but I don't know. I feel like wherever you go, you're going to be fine. And
the ticket price might just be, how many of the tickets have actually hit these sites yet? Like, when you go look at the Saints and you see $240, is that because you just don't have a lot of the, how many people even have their tickets yet? Or do they have them? And they've listed them yet? They already know that they're not going to be going in September 20th. Like, I think that could be more a time of the year thing than anything about the game. But I do wonder about, last week we talked a lot about it being the final year of the stadium and how many people called in to say, like, they're going to, like, the fans that don't have season tickets are going to make sure they're going to go, that they're going to go one more time.
Yeah.
That they want to go one last time, and that could be, Ed McGrogan from Tennis Channel was on. He's like, we're going to the Tampa game. Like, that'll be me and my son's last game at the stadium. And how many people are going to want to do that this year? Like, I got to get – last year at the stadium, I got to get to one more game.
Yeah.
Because if you have a million people thinking that way, then your demand is going to go up.
Your demand's going to go up, and I guess one offshoot of that is how many people might want to say, I want to go to one more Sunday 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's the case then.
I don't want prime time 8 o'clock. I got a Sunday 1 o'clock in nice weather. If I'm just going to go to a game, and to, again, like, this kind of goes to the point, why would that game be the most expensive? It might just be that the tickets that were $210 sold.
Yeah.
And you've kind of eaten up the ones that were there before by people that want to go to a Sunday 1 o'clock game.
And that is your only home Sunday 1 o'clock game of the season that you would expect the weather to be nice.
Right. So to me,
September 28th, their only other 1 o'clock game is that Tampa game. That's November 16th. And that could be nice, but
yeah,
it's trickier.
There's two different groups here. Someone that goes to every Bills game, what's the most exciting Bills game this year? You could argue it's Kansas City, Cincinnati, the opener, New England in prime time, the Philadelphia. If you're someone that wants to go to one game because you want to go to one game a year, well, those ones in prime time, I definitely want to watch those at home. That's easy. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to go to Sunday, 1 o'clock, nice weather against a team that they should smoke by 30.
That's the other. What's the spread? You know it's going to be a party.
Like, what's the spread against the Saints, who their quarterback's not even going to go into camp on time?
Right, maybe.
The second round pick?
Right now, like, ESPN on their schedule for the Bills, I don't know what site they're pulling this from, but it'll say date, opponent, time, TV, and then tickets. And each one says tickets as low as, so it has all the games listed. That Saints game, looking right now, is their third on this list. It's fourth. It's only behind in price the Baltimore game.
Opener.
The Kansas City game, and Philadelphia. That's it.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris, for the
Saints.
Phone call. Hope that's a good answer for you.
Who are like the least exciting opponent in the league.
Excuse me, as someone that just traded for Alvin Kamara in Dynasty in a win now kind of window, they are now our Saints.
How old is he?
I think he's 30.
All right, have fun with Taysom Hill stealing all your touchdowns for the 10th year in a row.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is, you know.
Can that guy retire already?
Kamara?
No, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill. He is a fantasy nightmare. Like, would he be the most hated fantasy player in fantasy football history?
I mean,
I think he has to be. Every year, everyone's arguing about what position he should be. He's stealing touchdowns from the guys you actually played.
That's a tough question.
Who is the worst, the least liked fantasy player ever? I think it's Taysom Hill. Because everyone's always arguing about him. 2 years ago, he had quarterback eligibility. Or no, what was it? 2 years ago, he was a tight end on all the sites, and then the Saints decided to start him at quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you should be allowed to start him at tight. Just every year, there's something like that.
803-0550, our phone number. If you're on hold, jump in. Last year at the stadium, remembering Highmark. Maybe that's what the helmets will do. Can they make red work 8 days until we get a new Bills helmet? And we're getting a whole new Bills setup, too, with the rivalries uniforms whenever that comes out. Jeremy and Joe here on a beautiful Monday morning on WGR.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.